Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of So NWA, the podcast about serving others in Northwest Arkansas.
That's right, everybody. We're your hosts, Enrique and Juan Carlos. We're both proud natives of Northwest Arkansas. Growing up here, we've seen the community evolve, and we're here to share the stories of the people who make it so special.
That's right. Each episode, we sit down with the movers, makers, and everyday legends shaping life in the Ozarks, anything from real estate to restaurant to local legends, and we talk about hidden gems. But of course, when we're not hosting a podcast, we're also local realtors in the area, helping people find their place in Northwest Arkansas.
Absolutely, guys. So whether you're from here, you're new here, or you guys just love a good story, you're in the right place. And if you ever need any help with real estate, buying, selling, or just exploring the area, do not hesitate to reach out to us. We would love to help. It would be an honor. Let's go ahead and get started with today's episode.
That's right, guys. Today on So NWA, we're diving into a topic that shapes every part of our community, even if you never thought about it before: city planning. And joining us today is someone who knows the ins and outs of it. Today we are joined by the planning director of Pea Ridge, Keegan Staton. Keegan not only is incredibly knowledgeable in this field, but he's also one of the kindest people you'll meet. We're going to unpack what city planning actually is, why it matters for residents, and how each of us can play a role in shaping the future in our hometowns. But everyone give a round of applause to Keegan Staton. What's going on, my friend?
Well, I'm here today talking with you guys. That's what's going on. I'm real happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for taking the time out of a busy Monday to spend with us and talk about what you do away from the office. And I think it's going to be really knowledgeable for our audience, but even for each other, just learning about something new. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Again, the inside scoop of Juan Carlos, that a lot of people aren't really familiar with the background work that goes in the cities. So thank you again for joining us. And I'm really looking forward to getting to learn a little bit more about yourself, about your role here in Pea Ridge, and just get to know each other a little bit. Enjoy the hour that we have together.
So definitely.
Thanks, Keegan.
You bet.
Keegan, talk to me. Before we started recording, you walked in and you said it's been a busy Monday. For people who aren't familiar with what you do, what does a busy Monday look like?
Well, in the world of development, which is sort of the private side of city building, you know, private developers coming in with new homes, businesses, parking lots, you know, you name it, whatever's being built, that world still functions on the weekend. They don't stop, even though city government's not open. So I'm still getting emails, I'm still getting phone calls, voicemails over the weekend that I've got to catch up on Monday. So Mondays aren't always just a walk-in, start out slow for me. It's sometimes you got a little bit of a backlog. So that's kind of what makes Monday mornings a little busier.
Yeah, you know, I thought I was under the impression anything with city or anything government related, like weekends were done, like that's it, you know?
You know, that's actually so as silly as it sounds, or sorry, silly to think that you're right. City government is, you know, Monday through Friday, but a developer is working Friday night, Saturday, all day, you know, whatever. And then they might have some questions for you on Monday. And I never really thought of it like that but that's so true.
Yeah. I mean, it also kind of makes sense for us too, because when we're doing our real estate thing, most people are usually free on the weekend. So it's a bit of a, I can relate a little bit to what you're saying. Of course, when the weekend, you know, it's just casually rolling on.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny. Already learning something new.
All right, Keegan. So let me ask you these questions here. You know, we like to do these rapid fire questions for our guests. Coffee or tea, Keegan?
Neither.
Neither. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is it energy drinks?
If I need something, yeah. I mean, not the traditional one. I try to go a little healthier.
Sure. So, which is?
Anything that doesn't have any sugar.
Okay.
Water.
Generally water.
Yeah. Water. Or what about like a freshly squeezed like orange?
I take that.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite place to grab lunch in Pea Ridge?
Victoria's. Yep.
Okay.
That was the very first restaurant I went to after I got hired.
got it. Very nice. Let's mountains or beaches?
I would go mountains.
Mountains?
Mm-hmm.
Early bird or night owl?
Definitely a night owl.
Night owl?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of night owls we have.
No, really? Yeah. Well, he stays up playing City Skylines, of course.
That's the best time to play.
Yeah. Let's see. What's the last great book or show you enjoyed?
Well, it's not really Diamond in the Rough anymore, but Severance would be my go-to.
Oh, on Apple TV. Yeah, on Apple TV, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that show about?
Severance? I don't know. I just heard about it.
It's a good show. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it.
Okay. What's kind of like the gist of the show, more or less, without any spoilers, of course?
Yeah, the premise is a guy works for a company called Lumen, and he is severed, which means that his work life and his home life within his brain are disconnected. So he walks in the building, he enters his work personality, who has no idea what is going on outside of work. Mm. And he leaves and he's back to his normal self.
Okay.
And there's some lore and mysteriousness it. So,
okay.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to see what this lore is. I need to figure out for sure. If you weren't in city planning, Keegan, what would you be doing?
That's a good question. Before I kind of landed on planning, there were several different careers I was looking at going out of high school and through college. I think it'd probably be possibly like forestry, perhaps, or something to do with like trail building, like not like cement trails, but like in the woods.
You know? Yeah,
walking trail, hiking trails.
Yeah, I think I've seen something, and I don't know if this is in that field or not, but I've seen people there where they're trying to fight deforestation or whatever, and they go out and they plant a bunch of trees, and sometimes they'll be working near those natural trails. I don't know
if that's true.
Yeah, that's related to that or not, but
yeah,
that's kind of what. Well, my mind thought, I don't know.
Yeah. So outside, basically out somewhere in the mountains, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just in the woods anywhere. Yeah.
Nice. There you go. One word to describe P Ridge. And this is the last question.
I don't know. I think there's hyphens in this. So I think it counts, but I'd say up and coming.
Up and coming.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I like that. That's cool.
And I would tend to agree. You know, I think with the growth that P Ridge has seen, I mean, I just remember from a few years ago when I would drive here and there, not very often, right? But you can see the drastic difference in traffic, the developments, all the new businesses coming in.
Yep.
So yeah, up and coming is, in my opinion, a great way to describe it.
That is true.
So
nice, nice. Well, that was fun. And let's dive into our main discussion here, Keegan. We always ask, you know, if you're not originally from Northwest Arkansas, how did you discover or how did you end up here in Northwest Arkansas? Let's hear that.
Well, it wasn't my choice because I was 8 years old when I moved here. But I'm really glad my parents didn't decide. My dad worked for a vendor for Walmart. And so then he got transferred down here to be with the Walmart team. So we moved here when I was eight, and to Rogers actually was where we lived at first. And then, we're only there for a little while and moved to Bentonville after that. So that's where I grew up. We moved from Wisconsin.
Okay.
So we're from a town called Racine between Milwaukee and Chicago, right there on Lake Michigan. And, yeah, so we moved here. I like to tell people that you know, Bentonville, Northwest Arkansas is my hometown now. I consider this my home.
Yep.
But I'll say, like, culturally, I'm still of the Wisconsin variety. I'm sure you'll hear the accent come out at some point. And, you know, I still like cheese and root for the Packers and stuff. So that's...
Cheese is good, man. Don't be ashamed of loving cheese.
I'm not.
I love cheese.
Yeah.
So where do you get your cheese fix at around here?
Usually I'll go to like, so Ivan's Meat Shop.
Oh yes.
They have a good cheese selection of that are just not sort of the general stuff you'd find at, you know, Walmart or Harps or something. So if you want something a little different, that might be a good place.
Exotic cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite cheese? If you have one.
My favorite would be Colby Jack.
Colby Jack?
Yeah.
And that one is pretty good.
Yeah.
Man, it's, you know, pretty good. That's cheese. So funny. I know people get into cheese like that, but I don't know. I've not gotten into cheese like that, but I like it on my burgers. Mm-hmm. Just like regular. But man, some people cut off a nice chunk off a big old brick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's fresh. Damn. Yeah. It makes a difference.
No, it's good. It's good. Like something that my family will do. It's funny.
Queso fresco.
Not necessarily queso fresco, but when some of my family was, we're from Central America, Honduras. Some people will go and visit for like a month or two. And when they come back, they bring back like these ginormous blocks of cheese that this farmer made over there in the hometown. Dude, that's like the best cheese ever. It's so good. I just be cutting chunks of it. And just,
that's funny.
It's so good, man. Awesome. So yeah, cheeses.
We do the same thing. When we go back to Wisconsin, we'll load up the car with all the cheeses, breads. I mean, any kind of stuff that we want to get out of our food system there. So
is olive oil included in that mixture of cheese and bread? Because you know my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's.
It's not something that I don't think the growing season support olives there.
Right.
So I don't
think
it's like a big part of it.
Got you.
I do like olive oil too.
I just think of the Tony Soprano with the big old chunk of cheese, mm-hmm. putting olive oil, mm-hmm. over,
you know? Salt and pepper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, just kind of curious. So you said your family moved up here from Wisconsin because of, you know, your dad worked for one of the vendors for Walmart. Did you know if there was another area that he had to select, or was it just, from Wisconsin to here? And that was like the only choice, or was there another choice? Or
do you know? I think it was, I want to say he got either changed positions or got a promotion or something. And to do that, he had to make the move because of, you know, Walmart, I think they still have the requirement that their suppliers have offices here. So
correct. Yeah.
For him to be on the Walmart team, kind of had to move here.
Yeah.
So
it was a good change. Good move.
It was. I'm very glad that they did. I know it was a big step for them because all of Hamley was still there. And, you know, I'm sure it was a difficult decision, but I'm glad that they did.
Has your family also moved here or visited here?
They have followed.
Oh, they have followed. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So all of my grandparents ended up following us down.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was nice having them close.
Yeah.
So you have no more family in Wisconsin, so you have just a little
extended
bit?
Family, yeah. Extended aunts and uncles and cousins.
Yeah.
And,
right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's always nice seeing some of your family come slowly together to one place because of, that's kind of how we did. What year was it when you guys moved down here?
In 2004.
2004. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So we came over here maybe 4 or 5 years after that, around 2008 or 9.
Okay.
And the same thing happened. You know, we came here and then slowly but surely everyone mm-hmm. is over here now.
Followed, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't have no one anywhere else. Just very, again, just distant relatives, cousins, the random aunt that you don't remember.
So what class of high school are you?
2014.
2014. Oh,
Benville High School.
Benville High School, for mm-hmm. sure. I'm trying to think. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm class of 09. So, yeah. So you must have been maybe, you probably have been like an eighth grader when I'm a senior.
Probably.
Yeah. Look at that. Dang. Young kids around me. Yeah. I love it, man.
That's... Well, if you graduated, you said 2014, uh-huh. I was in middle school then. So it's kind of like around the same, but just us now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I was younger. But yeah, Keegan, so, you know, you're in city planning. I'm not too familiar with it. Juan Carlos kind of filled me in a little bit. So for myself and of course for our audience, you know, for people who don't know, how would you explain city planning to someone who's never heard of it? And what would you tell them your ideal, I guess, role is in that position you're in?
Yeah. So normally when folks hear about city planning, if it's ever occurred to them before, they usually think of like SimCity. City Skylines is now the predominant video game.
That's a good reference.
Yeah. But I will say it is not anything like SimCity or any of these simulation video games. It's much more, I'd say it's both more detailed and also broader at the same time, which is kind of contradictory. But I kind of break planning into two aspects. There's more of the short-term sort of day-to-day development side of planning. And then there's the long-term planning that's looking at, you know, the long-term horizons of community growth, the large community objectives and goals that you're trying to meet, that are sort of multi-year strategies and projects. So on the short-term scale, it's more of like administering the zoning code, which is very comprehensive. It touches anything from signs to home-based businesses to how many parking stalls you have to have at a development. So we'll have folks submit applications and their building plans, and we'll review those, give them comments back, answer questions from the community on, you know, where, if I've got a shed I'm building in my backyard, where can I put it? Or I want to expand the parking lot at my business. What do I need to do to meet the stormwater requirements? So that's sort of the day-to-day. And then the long-term is more of kind of what I've been working on more recently is updating the future land use map, sort of implementing the goals of the comprehensive plan. Very, very long term, looking at sort of the future build out of the city.
I'm going to ask this question just because I didn't know what this was until, you know, about a year or a year and a half ago. Explain to the audience what this comprehensive map is, and then the I think there's two maps, or there's quite a few actually, but kind of what it is. Like when you say you're working on it,
yeah.
But also explain it like that. Maybe someone might that understands that, because I know I did it when I first heard. I was like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. So most communities are going to have they'll use either these terms or something very similar. They're going to have a comprehensive plan, which in Arkansas is actually required under state law. and a future land use map. And the comprehensive plan is sort of the textual document, and it's going to have some graphs and pictures and things in there, but it goes through the community profile. It's kind of develops a baseline of where the community's at when the plan is developed. It identifies what the community engagement was for the plan, how they gathered feedback from the public. Because ultimately, the plan is an idea that the community supports as to what the future of the city is going to look like. From many perspectives, it can be what's it like physically look like. You know, is there going to be anything about like historic districts, architectural standards? How are the streets going to be laid out? What are the streets actually going to look like? And then how the actual physical land is used in the city. So is it going to be predominantly a residential community? Is there going to be certain districts set aside for commercial or industrial? And then identifying where those need to go. The map then sort of translates that text, especially how the land gets used, into a visual diagram that planning commission, staff, city council, all use to make decisions. So it'll say, you know, the community says that we'd like to have commercial at major intersections. Well, on the future land use map, then you would have that colored in on intersections that are, you know, well suited to supporting commercial.
I'm curious to know if the feedback, for example, from the public is predominantly negative. I don't know if this has been a situation or not, but if that were the case, how would that look like? How would you have to go about?
Well, it's a typical development process for something like this. You would actually begin with public engagement first and kind of do a broad-based type of survey that says, you know, what do you envision the community being? What are your values? What do you like about the city? What don't you like about the city? And then the planners, or if you've hired a consultant, the consultants will look at it and based on that initial feedback, develop the plan from there. So it's not something that planners are doing in a vacuum and then presenting. It's something that is based on, you know, an original set of public information.
Gotcha. So then, in my opinion, I think that kind of helps make the city what the residents and people who are visiting be what they would envision. Which is, I mean, that's a great way to go about it, of course, because then what if it was reversed and then, hey guys, we're making this humongous 500 story office here, and like, oh, I don't want that in Peerage, you know? I'm just assuming. I don't know if that's even gonna happen, but I like that. I think that's a great way to go about it. And I guess another question I would have is what to do with the zoning and, you know, the use of the land. How does that, would you say, impact the residents here in Peerage?
Well, I mean, I think it's an everyday impact. You know, I've heard it said that local government is the most impactful on an everyday person, in an everyday person's life. And I think that's very true with planning and zoning, because what a property is zoned dictates what uses are allowed to go there. So if a property is zoned, for instance, in Peerage, the C2 zoning is a gas station, which a lot of people don't like. It's not, it's convenient. People like the convenience of gas stations, but they don't necessarily want to live by one. So if there's a C2 zone and someone moves into a home next to it, they may not really like to see that a gas station gets developed there. So, the other aspect of it is sort of the actual code itself. So there's the zoning district that a property has on the map. And then there's the code that says what can go in that district, and that can change too. In fact, we had one ordinance come through a couple months ago that amended our list of allowable uses. So that's really the concrete piece of it, is the actual text of the code, because that is going to dictate what is actually going into these districts. So it's good to pay attention to both, because they play hand in hand.
Right. Cause otherwise then you're just going to be running into, you know, maybe confusion issues and maybe you're not going to know exactly what to do. And then next thing you know, you're running into, I don't know, future issues down the line that maybe could be avoided.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. What, when we talk about city planning, what do you feel is, you know, you talked a little bit about your day-to-day responsibilities, kind of getting back to other developers, but what are some of the day-to-day responsibilities besides that, that maybe someone may not know that you do?
Yeah. It's funny. I've kind of reflected on this, probably a couple of years into my career. And when I was growing up, I didn't really know what my dad did. You know, couldn't understand. He works in supply chain, and all I ever saw him doing, like if he worked from home, if I go to the office with him, was sending emails. Mm-hmm. And so when people would ask me when I was a kid, what's your dad do? And I was like, he sends emails. And it kind of struck me a couple of years ago. I was like, that's what I do. I mean, really, there is a significant portion of my job that is sending emails, and it could be on any topic. And, you know, like I kind of talked about getting back to developers, getting back to citizens too. We get a lot of citizen requests. And a lot of it is just communication, and it's emails, phone calls, having meetings with people. That takes up the majority of the time that I have. Otherwise, like, you know, I said, it's updating the land use plan. So that's something I've kind of got in the background when I'm not answering emails or phone calls. I'm working on that plan, getting it ready to present to the public and to planning commission.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that now, especially when you joined, you know, the city of Pea Ridge. There was definitely an impact made, which was, you know, which was very helpful on our side as planning commissioners. But, you know, what are some everyday things that people don't realize are influenced by city planning?
Yeah. I mean, everything is everything. Like if you drive down any street, walk down any sidewalk in your city, every bit of that was influenced by city planning, going all the way back to even before city planning was a thing. Somebody had to make that decision about how wide is the sidewalk? Where is the street going? Where is the house going to sit on the land? All of that is today, especially dictated by those zoning codes. But even back before zoning was around, you know, they were basically very early development ordinances that kind of dictated the growth of the city. So all of this, everything that you see in the public realm, in the built environment, is definitely influenced by city planning and it from some degree or another.
Yeah, it's, I guess some people don't really, most people, I should say, they don't necessarily realize everything that's going on in the background. They just wake up and go about their day and then, why is this road not wide enough?
Yes.
Why are you guys adding a bike lane here?
Yeah.
I don't think they necessarily realize.
Bring roundabouts. Bring more roundabouts.
Yeah. No more roundabouts. No, not for me. But a lot of people, I think they fail to realize that, I don't know, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of planning behind it. And you mentioned growth. And something we were curious about, and Pea Ridge is known for a smaller town. How do you guys maybe try to balance keeping that small town feel, but also being considerate, of course, of the growth that we're seeing here in Pea Ridge?
Yeah, you know, it's very difficult. I mean, you can probably look at any other community in Northwest Arkansas, and before they exploded with growth too, they also were a small town. You know, I think before Walmart had their requirement about suppliers coming in, Bentonville was only the size of Centerton or smaller than Centerton is today. And so especially our outlying communities, Pea Ridge, Gentry's, Gravitz, probably Salem Springs to some extent, are historically and even recently a small town. And being able to accommodate the growth that's coming to our region, because the growth is coming whether we want it or not. And so we've got to figure out how can we accommodate that without really negatively impacting what the community already is established as. And I think that's one of the strongest parts of Pea Ridge in particular, is that it really does have an identity of its own. And it has held on to that for many, 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 many years in the face of the growth that Northwest Arkansas has already experienced. So I think planning for the growth to kind of work hand in hand with that is the challenge. And I think it's something that we're going to be working on. You know, one thought that I had, you know, small towns, everybody knows each other, right? And one thought I kind of already was bouncing around in my head was really just building strong neighborhoods in Pea Ridge. You know, we are going to grow, we're going to get bigger. We will get to a point where, you know, people aren't going to know everybody. But if people can at least know the majority of their neighbors in the neighborhood, maybe that still preserves some of that small town quality that people are looking for.
Right. And that's something that the mayor had said. Remember when we did this episode with the mayor, he had mentioned that a lot of people like that small town town from here.
Yeah. I know I moved to Pea Ridge maybe 3 or 4 years ago now. And I immediately felt that small town go to the grocery store, you know, go to Walmart here. That's our grocery store, and just see the same people. And I just like that, you know, and it's funny. Like, I'll go to Walmart now and I'll see, I'm like, oh, I've not seen that person before. Oh, look, some new, you know, maybe younger kids or younger generation. Cause before 4 or 5 years ago, it was a little bit older generation, you know, Walmart. I felt like I was probably one of the younger kids. Now I see different, age groups or whatever, but you know, I can't think of the same feeling like if I thought of Centerton or maybe Rogers was, but maybe a long, long time ago. But yeah, I think that's true. And creating those strong neighborhoods is that, I think that that's a good way of kind of still creating that small town feel. If we got to know our neighbors or had a reason to, if there was a park in our neighborhood that we can all meet at, now we just know our neighborhood, right? That's something that I think it's a good example.
Or when you see in movies, I don't know, the neighborhood block parties or something like that, that could be something that you can do with your neighbors in that certain subdivision, I guess. It's just funny because, you know, some people feel both, you know, feel negatively about it, feel positively about it. Like, I remember one time, a while ago, I was working part-time at Chick-fil-A, and this lady comes in with her, I think maybe two kids, I think is what she had. And this older gentleman, I thought it was her father. They were coming down from Silent Springs because it was the Chick-fil-A right there that can take you to I-49, the one that can take you straight to Tawnytown. I don't know what street that is. And I asked her, I was like, oh, where are you guys coming from? You could tell they look more southern, more like working with their hands type of family. Oh, we're coming from Silent Springs. Oh, really? I tell her. Man, how do you feel about the growth? You guys are growing a lot. I think it's pretty nice. And she said, oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
You guys are ruining Silent Springs. And I was like, you guys, I'm just a cashier here. What do you mean, guys? But yeah, some people definitely feel a bit of a ways about it. So I think preserving those small town charm and quality is important, especially for folks like that that have only been in the area when they've only had it that experience.
And I feel like that's such a, almost like a, the maybe it's not even a generation thing, but it's maybe the people that are just originally from here or just been here for a lot longer than obviously like myself or other people who are moving to the area. But it seems like if, and I think the mayor is doing a really good job at this and he's trying to connect both. We have the older generation here who's been here for a long time who like this, this, and that. Now you have the younger kids or younger generation coming in, and what can we do? If it's events or like our, you know, our new, like the sports complex that's coming in the number of years or the new park that's coming over here as well in front of Amber Coffee. I mean, those are things that can benefit both sides. Right. And I think he's doing a great job of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I know he said several times is if for a city, if you're not growing, you're dying. And to a lot of extent, that's true. I mean, you don't have to look outside of our state to see that small towns like Pea Ridge, if you are not growing, you are likely losing population. Rural communities across the United States are hollowing out. And it's something that is incredibly difficult to fix and to have a solution for. So, I know the growth is painful and it is coming fast here, but the alternative, I don't know that anybody would like to see either. So
that's a good point. Yeah. Yes.
It kind of like whenever you hear like stories from old, for example, old mining towns or something like that, they were mining coal. It was once a thriving city. And the next thing you know, it's slowly dying out and there's not much growth anymore, not much planning or investments going on in the city. And then eventually this once thriving town that people maybe adored and loved, you know, all their heart, it's kind of, you know, just gone.
That's right.
So in part, it's the growth is good, right? You know, obviously negatives with everything, of course, but in my opinion, I think that can help, like you said, it'll thrive rather than die. I think that was a good way to put it.
I remember when I moved to Pea Ridge and how I got involved. I saw something on Facebook that invited me to, I couldn't even tell you what the event was, but it was at City Hall. And it was talking about how rural cities in, you know, just die out over time. Exactly what you were saying, that if they're not growing, they're dying. And I never thought of it that way, you know, because originally I think maybe most of my life I was thinking, oh yeah, I want to live in a city and not have, you know, major commercial or industrial in my city. I just want to live there and then I want to drive, you know, 15 minutes to where I need to go get it and then come back, right? But then if fast forward 10-15 years later, if I find out that my city's dying, because we can't, you know, we can't update the infrastructure or anything like that from the taxes of the city, then I have to move and move my family to somewhere else, right? And that kind of disrupts it. So I'm very, you know, I never thought of it like that. But now one of my favorite things that I say is I like to live and play in my city, right? Like even now, like for myself, you know, if I go to Bentonville for a restaurant or something like that, or go to Rogers for this or that, I mean, how cool would it be to stay in my city and enjoy all those amenities?
And that, I mean, that in itself is a balance as well, because it, you know, people love parks and amenities and good streets, good, make sure their toilets flush. I mean, those are really important things. And
water pressure.
Yes. I mean, all those things cost money too. And from a city's fiscal standpoint, majority, especially in Arkansas, of a city's budget comes from sales tax. And so that's the other thing, is it's a balance, right? If you want to have those things that are, that make a town great to live in, you have to balance that out with also be willing to have some sort of commercial component to be able to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some sort of trade-off. Right? Yeah. I think it's a good way to view it.
I think of also like just a variety of different sales tax, right? From commercial, industrial, residential, things like that. That's kind of how I look at it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which in my, I think this kind of goes, this question kind of goes in part to what we're discussing, you know, why would it be important for local residents, not just Pea Ridge, but anyone in any city, why would it, in your opinion, you think it'd be important for them to be involved in some of those planning discussions for their city?
Yeah. I mean, that's the crux of planning, is the people that live in their community. They are the experts. Planners are just facilitators. We take their words and, you know, translate that into plans and into codes. And, you know, we do have some professional background in planning and sort of understand some of the best practices, and, you know, admittedly have a very different viewpoint of the world than most people do. 'Cause we're always thinking, you know, 50 years down the road, how is this going to still work? So,
we need that. We need people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, you know, it's almost like a facilitator translator, where we're taking what we're hearing from the community and trying to put that into words, into plans, into codes, so that the community that ends up growing out of that is what the ideas and the vision that the people had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You, what would that be called if it, I don't know if, I don't even know if there's a term for it, but when it's just, I don't know. I don't want to say dictatorship. That doesn't sound necessarily right. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you wouldn't want that situation. Yeah.
There was early on in planning in the, after the war, after World War II, there was, we call it top-down planning, where the decision makers, engineers, planners, city hall, whatever you'd like to call them, basically dictated what was going to happen and where.
Like no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, the famous top-down planner in New York was Robert Moses. He was city engineer for New York, and he's responsible for all of the interstates going through all the New York boroughs.
Oh, wow.
And he did that for many years before there was finally some pushback, and the community kind of rose up in its voice. And one of the quintessential planning, she was never actually a planner, just a community organizer. Jane Jacobs kind of started that idea of basically bringing the community into those discussions.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
That's pretty cool.
A little bit of planning history.
Yeah. You know. No, history is cool, man, because, you know, it's, it's pretty fascinating to see how those problems were handled. So if for whatever reason things were to happen the same way again, maybe not necessarily in New York, but maybe in, I don't know, Florida or even here, we have that to look at. Oh, you know, somebody stood up and did this, and they stood up for their city. So there you go. I didn't know that. Good history right there.
Yeah.
I love it.
What do you feel, or what do you think is a simple step that someone can take to get more engaged with their city planning? What do you feel that would be?
That's a good question, because, you know, one of the things that planners often lament is that there are really big decisions that get made at planning commission, at city council, that are in the planning realm, but that never get any traction with the public. You know, there's never any interest shown, either by folks calling, emailing, or showing up to meetings. So I would say that, you know, The simple step, I think, would be just kind of, if you can, tune in, pay attention to, you know, newspaper articles. We got a great local paper here, PRH Times, that covers a lot of what we do in planning. Mm-hmm. I know not every small city has those, especially with a lot of them local publishers closing, but, you know, use your city's website, contact your city's planner, find out what's going on, and, you know, be engaged on things that you are interested in or things that would impact you. And, you know, if you feel so compelled, go to meetings, write to your planning commissioners, write to your city council. Because a lot of decisions get made without input from the public when there is the opportunity for that. So,
right. Like when there's that lack of feedback, I mean a decision still has to be made at the end of the day, right? Yeah. But when, regardless of the feedback or not, I mean, it's going to happen. So, and your advice is basically just say something if you can, maybe just share your
impact. If you're compelled, you know, if it's something on the other side of town that you know, not really too concerned with, you know, I know that it's an extracurricular for most people would be the planning process. So don't, you know, focus on what you can so you don't get burnt out, I'd say.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Don't get tired of it.
It's true.
Have you ever gotten, and I don't know if you can share this, have you ever gotten like a, how do I say this? Like a, I don't know if ridiculous is the right word, but maybe like an email or something from somebody that was kind of like, why in the world are you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, me and anybody else at City Hall, at any of the city halls I've ever worked at, we've all gotten those before.
I'm curious what if you could share one, maybe from a different city, not even saying the city's name necessarily, but just something that like an email came in and kind of just, I'm just curious now with that.
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten handwritten letters that are just, you know, they put a lot of blame on city staff, and this one in particular just used a lot of vulgarities, and it was just
right.
It was, to some extent it was a little entertaining, but you know, you never want to have that. You can't please everybody, and especially in planning, but you really don't ever want to have anybody get to the point where they feel they have to do something like that. You know, send a letter that's just very, you know, vulgar or hateful or spiteful. But you know, a lot of the letters and emails that we do get, a lot of it comes from places of people just not understanding planning and the process, which I absolutely understand. It is not an easy process. And a lot of that just comes from, you know, decades of laws and codes and things just building on one another. And, so I know a lot of people get frustrated with it, but I'll see it as opportunity for folks to kind of be educated and get some, you know, a little bit more comfortable or understanding of the process.
For sure. If somebody in Pea Ridge wanted to, and this may be the first I'm hearing about that, they could send an email.
Yeah.
Where is this information at? Where can they find it? Where can they kind of look it up to kind of start that, I guess, experience or process of sending something over?
Yeah. All of our emails, myself and our planning commissioners and city council members, their emails are listed on city's website. So if there's ever a project or rezoning or anything that's coming up on the agenda, feel free to shoot an email to me and our commissioners and council members. They'd love to hear from you.
There you go. What was I going to say? Speaking of planning and you know, doing things for the city, are there any upcoming projects that you can discuss with us, share with us, or I don't know, some sort of initiative that you think maybe the residents would be pretty excited about?
Well, I can say I'm really excited about the future land use map. I hope that the residents would be excited too. It's, I think, going to be a really good opportunity for us to kind of envision how we want the city to grow.
For sure.
And to create some engagement and hopefully some buy-in into a future vision for the city. We are definitely right on the cusp of just exploding here in Pea Ridge. And if we don't plan for it now, we want to avoid any bad decisions or bad infrastructure or any of that stuff that can be avoided at all costs. So we really have a good opportunity to build something that really stands out for in our region.
Do you know if it's going to be a lot of commercial slash residential, a mixture of both, or
it's always a balance, right? You know, and it's always a kind of chicken and egg catch 22 type situation where to get commercial, you've got to have houses. To have to get houses, you've got to have the amenities. You got to have amenities, you've got to have commercial pay. So it's always
just kind of circular. All in one another.
It's always circular.
Yeah, you start having too much commercial. Oh, let me make some more houses. Yeah. Oh man, I'm eating another 7 brew. Let's put another one in there.
As we know, we need another Mexican restaurant here.
If you could put another Mexican restaurant, what would you put?
What would I put?
Yeah, like it could be, I don't know, one that we haven't heard of, or maybe one that you have been that's not in Pea Ridge. What would you?
I would think something that might be a little different would be, well, I went to New Mexico years ago, and they had very distinct flavor profile. So something of that kind of variety, I think, would be.
Would you say it was more, like, I guess, on the authentic side?
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't like what I typically had at
any other place. That makes sense. How I don't know my geography. I'm assuming it's like close to the border in New Mexico.
I wasn't. It was actually northern New Mexico, but it's still very much, you know, that sort of original.
For sure.
Settler kind of feel.
It's, well, once you have that one spot where it's so authentic, like, it's hard to find anything like that again, man. It's tough. So,
well, I know, because I know people say a lot about all the Mexican restaurants that Pea Ridge has, but that's why I think something like that would be a little different, you know? So,
yeah, the nearest restaurant that we just got, it's not us, it's out Les Tequilas. Down to Little Rogers, I guess. Or
okay. Close.
Yeah. A lot of people go there now too. By the 7 Brews.
By the 7 Brews.
Like when you're leaving out on, is it
94? 94 and 94. And 62.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. No, I haven't been, but I'll stick to La Taranda. That place is.
Oh yeah, La Taranda's really.
Have you been there?
I have.
Rogers.
No.
You should go.
Check it out.
You should go. In my opinion,
it's really good.
In my opinion, at least.
It's really good.
I don't want to hype it up too much. You know, it's all right. Just so you don't go in there too overhyped, but it's pretty authentic in my opinion.
Yeah,
the tacos are good. The carne, the meat, it's good.
It is good.
Right there on 8th Street, La Taranda. It's a supermarket.
Okay.
At the very back is where they have the little restaurant.
You know the O'Reilly's in Rogers, maybe? By the Tyson and Heritage High School?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
there's a supermarket behind the O'Reilly's. Okay. And the restaurant's right behind it. Mm-hmm. Or in it, in the back.
Okay.
Yeah, so you pass like the meats and cashiers and everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you just walk through and there's a Mexican music playing. There's probably a little Mexican kid or Hispanic kid running around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would go there.
I will.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good for sure. Let's see here.
I got a question for him. You know, Keegan, you know, you've been in this role for how long?
Only 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah. 6 months.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we're real busy.
Yeah. You have, you know, from what I've seen, you've done a fantastic job. I mean, even in the short amount of time for 6 months, what do you feel has changed since, how much Pea Ridge has changed even from 6 months ago to today? And this may include also what's coming in the next 6 months, right? To kind of also kind of just broad that question out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'd say most of the change that I've seen probably isn't visible yet. I think it's more of like structural type change that's happening, both inside City Hall, outside City Hall, just sort of like the mindset of administering a city.
I see.
And especially from a planning perspective. So I think there's been some changes with that. I think we've got a lot more confidence with city planning in Pea Ridge in particular, and being able to enact the ordinances that we need to really satisfy the goals and objectives of the community. So it's going to take some time and take some work,
mm-hmm.
not only to get those ordinances passed, but also then to see the effect and impact of those ordinances on the built environment.
This is definitely a long-term game.
It is.
Yeah.
It is very much so.
Yeah. I mean, it might even be something next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever we work on this year, it seems that it'll be a year to 2 years mm-hmm. before we kind of see why we did that.
Right.
I can totally see that if when you started 6 months ago to now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. I should ask that earlier, but it, at least from all the knowledge that you have, it sounds like you have a lot of experience in this field. How did you get to the position you're at now? Where were you before? Were you working with the city before, or how does that work? How did you get to where you're at right now?
Yeah, so I'll go back to college. So I got a undergrad degree in planning, then a master's degree in planning. So I double dipped. Nice. I was really committed.
You were all in.
I was from day one. And then my wife was going to medical school, so she got in at KCU in Joplin. So we moved to Joplin, and I was able to get a position with the city of Joplin, and was an entry level planner there for 3 years doing. Mostly like land use, running planning commission, and reviewing development. And then had the opportunity to go to City of Bentonville. That had always been a dream of mine, working for City of Bentonville, which is where I grew up. So, I did that for about a little over 2 years and then, joined on the City of Pea Ridge.
What title did you, or position did you have in Bentonville?
I was senior planner.
Okay. So can you tell us like the kind of the structure of how it goes? Just average. I know maybe some cities may not.
Yeah.
But just generally kind of what does that look like? So your entry level mm-hmm. or what'd you say?
Yeah, it was just a planner.
Oh, planner. Okay.
The original title from Joplin.
Okay.
Yeah. Every city's going to have different terminology and structure how they go. But typically you'll have the entry level planner. Planner one would be another title you'd see. And then you can get to like say a senior planner or like planner three would probably be similar to that in the number scheme. And then depending on the size of the city, you might have like a deputy or an assistant director. And then obviously director of planning as well.
Got it. Okay. So when you moved from Joplin to, the city of Bentonville, and obviously the title was different, mm-hmm. Even though it was in the same realm, what did you feel was like one of the big differences between that? I mean, obviously completely different cities.
Yes.
But as far as your role, right, you're doing similar things, mm-hmm. but I'm just curious, like, just name a few that you felt was like, wow, this is only in Bentonville. Could we, this is happening. What are some of those things?
Yeah. When working for Bentonville, it was almost like a fire hose of projects. And I started there, in Joplin, we had our fair share of development too, but it was nowhere near, just what kept hitting in the city of Bentonville. And it was anything from actual things being submitted to very large or even small projects just at a conceptual phase. Mm-hmm. Bentonville had a much, but more detailed set of ordinances as well. They had probably a more in-depth process as well to get approvals. So mm-hmm. there was more steps to it. There was more things to keep a detailed eye on. So those were probably the big changes.
You think that maybe it came that way from years before, right? Maybe you think they planned that like 10 years ago, or they did maybe like a rapid, like, we need to do this because we're growing so much, because Bentonville grew in, mm-hmm. in
kind of blew up.
It kind of just blew up in the last like 5 to 10 years. So do you think just, if you know or not, just your opinion, like, yeah, they totally just hashed it out these next or this year or two to for the next 10 years? Or do you think that someone actually thought of that back in 2000, that they were going to be this big city that they are now? Right.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know if anybody back then could have ever envisioned Bentonville growing that big. I didn't, I always mm-hmm. thought there would be sort of a cap to it, once Walmart mm-hmm. kind of got all their people nearby. But yeah, I mean, that's why we plan. Right. And that's why, you can go back. I think they're still on the city's website. You can go back and see the plans, comprehensive plans that had been done previously. Again, that's why we plan, is to be able to be prepared. And I think that's sort of the difference with planning in Northwest Arkansas, is it's not so much you're setting a horizon saying like 2050, we're going to be here. Mm-hmm. It's happening so fast here mm-hmm. that you just want to make sure that you're not overlooking anything, and that for whatever eventuality, you're as prepared as you can be through your ordinances, through your planning documents, through everything. That's one of the things that we're taking a look at with our future land use plans. It's not so much a set horizon of this is where we think Pea Ridge is going to be in 20, 30 years. It's more of we're anticipating a lot of growth really quickly. So let's make sure that we have not overlooked or missed mm-hmm. anything, and that we're prepared for growth or development anywhere in the city.
For sure. Speaking on that, then, for Pea Ridge, where do you see Pea Ridge in about 10 years then? Because, of course, like you said, mm-hmm. Bentonville just blew up. Mm-hmm. All of Northwest Arkansas just blew up. So You can tell P Ridge is also kind of heading in that direction, in my opinion. So we're, in your opinion, Keith, yeah, what do you think? Where would be intended?
And where should we buy?
Yeah, you know, give us the inside scoop. Seriously.
Yeah, where should we buy?
Just pay attention to the planning document. No, but for real though, I mean, if people are interested in, you know, how the city is going to change, pay attention to planning documents. If you're buying property, if you're looking to buy a new home, look at the planning documents. That'll tell you what the city's going to look like, you know, when you've been in your home for 10 years. So, in 10 years, you know, obviously a lot of it depends on the economy, how the region's going. I think, you know, in the last 5 years since the last census, we estimate that we've doubled in population. So we think we're somewhere around 12 to 13,000 people right now.
Yeah.
In another 10 years, I think it is entirely feasible that we could double again. And that is, I mean, that's a lot of people that are going to be coming. You think about how big the city is, how many homes we have, how many streets we have.
Yeah.
Now double it. We got to figure out where they're going, how it's going to get paid for. All of those things have to be considered. So, if there's anything that's going to slow it down, it's going to be that, you know, we, or I say we with a small W, we as in the city of Pea Ridge, not the organization so much, but, won't be able to handle that level of growth, whether it's just from not having like the street infrastructure in yet. Highway 72 is a huge choke point. I know we've been really pressuring RDOT to kind of get to the table on that and do some work on that. Unfortunately, it's not a city street, so there's nothing the city can really do to it ourselves. It's strictly owned by the state. So we are doing everything we can to lobby with them. Regional planning has got it on their list as well. So, but it's going to be things like that, that would hold us back.
That's pretty difficult, you know, knowing that. At least that's one challenge, right, with RDOT. That's something that the mayor, Nathan Sees, had told us as well, that he had been talking to them for, I don't even know how long now. And that it was a challenge because, like you said, it's not even owned by the city, right? It's owned by the state. And so, of course, it becomes even more tricky there, having to jump through so many hurdles and figure out the, like you said, if you're going to double in 10 years, you got to get that state highway figured out.
Absolutely.
Figure out where on earth you can put more roadage and then where the, you know, it's this whole ordeal. So,
and this is kind of where my brain goes, is it's because it's always like when I see a problem, you know, like, well, to fix it, you have to double it, like double the lane, right? So that's just the streetwise. But now I'm thinking, well, who do we need to talk to get that fixed? You know, is that like the governor or something? Like for real?
Yeah.
Is that really how it works? Like Sarah Huckabee, will you please look at 72, you know? But I'm saying, like, is that like really something that could be done if she or the governor or, because it couldn't be, you know, Nathan can't do, like the mayor couldn't make that call. It really would be the governor. Be like, this is an emergency.
Like, yeah, it's, you know, the legislature and the governor would ultimately be, you know, have the most impact on that process because they can, the legislature in particular, you know, they can set the funding priorities for RDOT. And if widening Highway 72 is on that list of funded projects, then RDOT can go ahead and
be like, you know, begin. We'll start tomorrow.
Correct.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh, man. For all the audience, if you live in Pea Ridge, please, if you live in Pea Ridge or planning on living in Pea Ridge or any of those, even if you're a neighbor of Pea Ridge, you know how helpful that would be. Reach out to your legislator. So, man, that's pretty cool. Look at that. And I think that's insane, right? So you have the mayor of Pea Ridge been asking for years to take a look at this, like, cause it's, you know, it's such a problem. And, it's not on the list. It's not on the agenda. You know, we'll get to it when we get to it. And I completely, and I understand too, they're working on the other project, right? The big project that's out in Springdale, right?
412 bypass. Yeah,
that, which is, you know, probably needed even 10 years ago, you know, but now it's, I guess if she wants to authorize it, she can do that. It's like, wow, like, who can send that email? I'm for real, you know, that's how my brain works. It's like, why is that so difficult? You know, or someone donated 100, you know, I don't know how much it would, do you know how much it would cost to do that? Just totally rough estimate.
You know, the estimating part's not big in my thing. I'd say at least $100 million.
If someone,
you're looking from Bentonville to Pea Ridge.
Right.
The length. I mean, it's like 6 or 7 miles. So
it's like,
and there's gonna be several bridges, lots of difficult terrain, right-of-way acquisition, a lot. So
call Jeff Bezos and be like, can you donate half a, you know, quarter billion dollars to
Well, that guy's on his yacht, man. He's not worried about highway.
You know, just stuff like that. I'm like, well, 100 million, okay. Well, let's get 200 in here and see what we can do. But it does work like that, but it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a good comparison, I think, for what a future Highway 72 would look like is, and right now RDOT is also working on the 112 corridor widening as well. So I think that'd be something you could look to for a similar project. Mm-hmm. I know we looked at that the other day, and again, this is already under construction, but the first phase of that, which I think is 4 or 5 miles, I think it's 50 or 65 million total, including engineering costs.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
Have you seen those videos on YouTube where, like, this is kind of funny, but where China builds like a building in like a week?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I have
seen you know, that. It's like, oh, the Chinese, you know, China's built a 15 story building in record 2 weeks, you know, completely concrete. And they even put I even saw this was crazy. They put like a cover over a work site so the dust mm-hmm. doesn't impact mm-hmm. like the residents around it or whatever. I was like, wow. Isn't that crazy? Just how can something?
No, you know,
I don't know any details as far as how it gets done. Like,
yeah.
How many workers are available and what they're getting paid. I don't know nothing. I'm just talking more of just timeline of they just finished a building in, you know, 2 weeks or something, and it takes a year or whatever it might take. Yeah. You know,
for I think we got to get the Amish out there, man. Dude, they build those barns in like a day. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what they can do with 4 or 5 miles on some highway, man. I don't believe them.
I don't know if they can use any of those like trucking.
Let them bring their own trucks, man. I'm telling you, man. They're going to go crazy. How much
horses can do, you know? But
no, trust me.
They have to like mix concrete by hand, you know, because they don't use like machinery, right? Like,
trust me, man. Trust.
They're industrious people.
That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I only say that because you mentioned that video about the people in China building. Yeah, they do like a time lapse of the Amish doing like their barns or whatever. They love to pick it up and move it or something. Like they're on another level, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, it, like I said, it's an honor to have you here to spend time with us and talk to us about what you do and who you are and everything. But we also feel it's important if that person, our guest, gives a shout out if they want or even. A recognition to someone in their life that had really shaped them, who they are today, right? If it's a family friend or a mentor or anything like that, just a shout out. And that's just do you have anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to or recognition or anything like that?
Yeah. I might say 4 people.
Okay.
Oh, I'm allowed.
No,
for different purposes.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And it can be work or personal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously my parents for, I think just, foundationally who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. I absolutely would not be who I am without them.
Mm-hmm.
My wife for supporting me through 3 career changes. So that's obviously a big deal. And professionally, I'd say Troy Bolander. He was the director, or he is the director for City of Joplin of Planning.
Oh, and nice.
I think more than anyone that I've run into professionally has shaped and my perspective on planning and sort of best practices and prepared me the most, I think, to step into the role of being a director myself. So
that's amazing. Shout out to that. I love it.
Yeah. Shout out to everyone. And you know, we just think it's important, you know, because like you said, these people helped you become who you are today, right? You know, your parents helped you with who you mm-hmm, are. Mm-hmm. Your wife with her support, you know, through the 3 career changes, and then of course a mentor in your field. We always think it's important to give those people that moment of spotlight, because you know, I think without those people in your life, you wouldn't really, this is a plateau, right? You wouldn't be where you are today, I think. So
yeah.
Keegan, thank you for giving that shout out, man. We truly appreciate it.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
So, and then, you know, of course we're here in Northwest Arkansas.
We got to highlight Arkansas.
Of course we have to,
all day.
We love our area. You grew up in Bentonville.
Yep.
So, you know, you consider yourself a native now, as do Juan Carlos and I. We've been here for many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if for whatever reason, you know, that distant aunt in Wisconsin that you've never seen before, she shows up tomorrow, Keegan, where are you taking her for the first time here in Northwest Arkansas? What are you doing?
I'm taking her to Hugo's.
Awesome.
It's far and away the best burger that you can have anywhere in this country, with hands down.
I like that.
Go to order right there. The burger, but how you get it? How you get your burger?
Medium.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. So I think medium and medium rare, I think, is the only way I think you can go with beef for sure.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, shout out Hugo's, man. Hugo's good. And then any hidden gems that maybe some people wouldn't know about? Maybe your family knows about it. You grew up frequenting it. But maybe somebody just isn't aware of this hidden gem here in Northwest Arkansas. What is that to you guys?
That's a good question. There's not much that's hidden in Northwest Arkansas anymore.
You know, that is true. That is true.
For a long time, it felt like all of Northwest Arkansas was a hidden gem, but I don't think that's the case anymore.
True. That is true.
I did feel that way when I grew up, when I was growing up here, you know, in those years. I was like, no one come here, please.
Yeah. I remember we went to go visit family one time in New Jersey, and I think my dad had seen a friend he hadn't seen in a long time. I was like, hey, where'd you guys move to? Oh, we went to Arkansas. Arkansas, what are you doing out there? There's nothing out there.
Yeah.
But people don't realize, right? Yeah. Northwest Arkansas is its own kind of unique faction.
Growing up for many years, I was just like, when I lived in California, I'd say, oh, I'm from Arkansas. I'm like, oh, what do you guys, you know, ride horses out from Arkansas? I was like, I didn't know what to say because it was really strange. I was like, yeah. And I was like, no. Oh, you guys even had McDonald's out there?
What?
It's like, whoa, I don't know, man. It's like, it's not like a third world country or anything.
Oh, no, right? Man.
It was like joking in a way, but yeah. It was like, and then after a while, I used to be like, yeah, and we wake up and smoke cigars. You know, I shoot my gun in the air a few times. And yeah, breakfast. I
got to roll my own cigarettes, man.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what the heck? But yeah, no. But yeah, so what do you think is one of these hidden gems in there? And it can even be your personal hidden gem. You're like, me and my wife, we go here. What is it?
I would say, and this probably isn't a hidden gem to the mountain biking community, but there is a trail in Bentonville off of Northeast A. I don't remember the name of it, but it will lead you to a golden statue of a Buddha. Just
really?
In the middle of the woods.
I didn't know that. For real.
That is a hidden gem.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a hidden gem. There you go.
So,
very nice. How big is the statue, would you say?
It's fairly sizable. I mean, it's probably... 3 feet, maybe, tall.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going to go find it.
Bentonville, Golden
Buddha. It's not far from the castle. So, but it's on the other side of Ash.
Okay. So, yeah, I know where the castle is. Yeah. Okay. Cool, man. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
All right. So, Keegan, where on the weekends, you know, or, you know, you take your wife out, what's one of your favorite Northwest Arkansas spots? Restaurant, coffee shop, brewery? What do you think?
Gosh, there's several. We have passports from the, I think it's a Fayetteville chamber that does the ale trail.
Oh.
And so there are several good breweries on that. You know, in the Benton County side, there would be New Province Brewing, Bentonville Brewing. What's the one downtown Rogers? I can't
Ozark Beer.
Ozark Brewing.
Such a nice location.
Yeah.
They're always full.
They're always good vibes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. New Province is my favorite.
It's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I haven't been there.
They're my favorite. Yeah. They're the most tasty.
That's close to Pea Ridge.
Yeah. I like Bentonville Brewing Company when I went. I went with Francisco and coming up with his wife, and it was a great environment. The good beer. So
yeah,
it's a great place. I'll have to check out. Mm-hmm. What was it? Was it called Provinces?
Or? New Province.
New Province. I'll have to check that one out for sure.
Yeah, it's all Hudson.
Yeah. All right, Keegan. So, you know, we're coming up to the end of the episode here. There's the Spiveys, Joe and Suzanne. And so they left you two questions. So the questions are, what have you done in the last 6 months to improve the lives of others? And what are your plans to help others in the future?
I think as a planning director, he nails them every day.
Oh, we got that. You know what I mean? True.
I hope so. I hope so. No, I think these are really good questions. You know, I think being in planning, or really anybody that works for a local government, they're not in it for the money. You know, it's not like working for a private firm or anything. So I think most of us are led by a desire to help people, help others succeed.
For sure.
So, you know, in the last 6 months, have been in this job. I hope that there's been several times that I've, either made a decision or answered the phone or an email that, that helps somebody. You know, when I do, I try to think of instances of doing like plan review of new developments or subdivisions, that come through and just kind of looking through the details and making sure that, the people that aren't always represented at the table.
For sure.
That whatever gets planned and built also works for them as well. So, you know, one of the things that did get me into planning was my grandfather, who he lived near downtown Bentonville, couldn't drive, so he would ride his bike at most places of the store. And this was before bicycling was such a big deal as it is now. But just making sure people like him that live in our community still are able to get around, have the dignity to be mobile in their community. And so, you know, looking at our subdivision plans and making sure that the crosswalks are in the right places, that they're built correctly and designed correctly, and facilitate movement of folks that either don't have a car, can't drive one, can't afford one, can still get around our community.
Yeah, giving them that sense of independence.
Yep.
I think that's always important, especially for our older folks in the community. You know, sometimes it becomes a bit difficult. Like, I have grandparents that have trouble, you know, being mobile on their own, so they rely heavily on us, or maybe even public transportation in their home country.
Give them a bike, they can just ride downtown.
Well, you know, it'd be nice if my grandfather's knee wasn't messed up.
Get him a knee bike with the throttle.
There you go.
Hey, you know what? That's true. Or one of those e-scooters that have a seat on it. Yeah, there you go.
I like to get one of those. Well, not for me, but like they have the three wheels, like one in the front, two in the back.
I know.
So they don't have to
balance. Just say it's for you, man. Don't be embarrassed. I can imagine you just going down the road in one of those. All right. Well, Keegan, so now it's your turn to leave a question for our next guest. And of course, we don't know who it is just yet.
Yeah.
But it can be any question, as hard or as simple as you want.
Let's see. How about on the idea of planning, kind of, how are you getting people in your community involved?
I like that question.
And not in planning, just involved
in the community. Yeah, it could be, I don't know, you host a backyard barbecue or something. Yeah, for sure.
Listening to the So NWA podcast. Sharing it.
Great way to do it. Awesome, folks. But yeah, well, that's pretty much it, guys. You know, again, thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode. And Keegan, of course, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
for us, time is valuable for sure. And so, you willing to share about an hour with us today, plus the commute here and back, truly grateful. So thank you, Keegan, so much for the opportunity.
Yes, and it was such a short notice too. I mean, we spoke last week, if I remember right, and you know, you didn't hesitate at all to jump on the podcast. So that was just really, I'm really grateful for that. Thank you. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to have you here and, you know, have these conversations, you know, there's the idea is that we all get to know each other more, but also the community too. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, you know, I'm going to nudge you to, we need to get Dustin on here.
I told him where I was heading when I was leaving.
Yeah. You know, by far, we condone any bullying here, but you know, but peer pressure is okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So we need to peer pressure Dustin to get in here. I really enjoyed talking with Dustin. Yeah. He's such a good guy too.
Yeah. He's got a bright head.
Yeah. No, for sure. But Keegan, man, thank you again, folks. Thank you for joining us today on another episode, but you guys take care and we'll catch you soon.